This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Mozambique's Garangosa National Park is one of the most biodiverse parks on the planet. If you visited the park today, though, you would have no idea that it was a battleground during the country's civil war, a war that lasted for 15 years, ending in 1992. And during that time, the large animals were caught in the crossfire and decimated. Let me give you an idea about how that worked. Zebras went from a population of 3,300 to just 12. Hippos went from 3,500 to 44. And the wildebeest started at 6,400, and by the end of the war, only one wildebeest could be found. But the park has come back. That's the good news, and it's the subject of a new book by my next guest, the illustrious E.O. Wilson, Professor Emeritus of Biology at Harvard University in Cambridge, Mass., author of the new book, A Window on Eternity, A Biologist's Walk Through Garangosa National Park. He joins us from WGBH in Boston. Always good to have you on the program, Dr. Wilson.
Always good to talk to you, Ira.
Thank you. The idea, a window on eternity, what do you mean by that?
I mean that it's our national parks and our best guarded nature reserves around the world that will hold on to the rest of life that we are so cheerfully and effectively removing as we speak. We need to have a part of the world set aside just to save those millions of other species. We're just one of the species, and there are millions of others. It's the rest of life. And these parks are the only ones that where you can say that the life forms and the way they are put together in ecosystem goes back by evolution, reversed evolution. You can follow it to the beginnings of life itself and can continue if we leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Eternally, well, you know, into the indefinite future.
Right.
And that's the reason why I referred to a window on eternity.
What's the biggest threat to the parks? Is it something like the Civil War that decimated this park, or is it overpopulation? Is it global warming, or a combination of all of these?
I think that it's not population, overpopulation, because it's a very sparsely inhabited part of Mozambique. And global warming, it remains to be seen. We don't have a lot of evidence yet to feed in to see what the changes are due to that. We don't have a baseline. That's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The main problem, that the one you just mentioned, murderous civil war, which eliminated as many as a million people and drove several million into temporary exile, was fought, as you indicated, in part in the insurgents' headquarters area, the Renamo mercenaries, mostly supported by the colonial Rhodesian and South African governments.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their central headquarters during the war was Garangosa National Park. So what we see, or what we saw 10 years ago, was a park that looked intact, but its big animals had been almost all wiped out. The megafauna was gone. It was just 10 years ago when an American philanthropist, Greg Carr, visited it, fell in love with the park, saw the possibilities to restore it, and has done so.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of needy, damaged natural areas around the world. What drew you to Garangosa National Park to check it out?
I had the opportunity to go there as a researcher and an advisor, and I've just come back from my third visit just 5 days ago. And what I've been doing is, well, advising, mm-hmm. but also helping the biological survey of the park. We have made in the park, I should say we, it's been mainly under the direction of an extraordinarily gifted young entomologist named Peter Nastrecki, who incidentally was a photographer of the photographs in A Window on Eternity. and a team of upwards at a time of 30 entomologists and other experts carrying on a survey of the biodiversity of the park. So we have a scientific effort going at the same time that the restoration, primarily where it's most needed, that is the big mammals, is progressing very well.
And to what, when you say progressing, how far has it come back, and to what were the key elements that allowed them to recover?
The key element is one, leave them alone. And the recovery rate varies enormously with the kind of animal. For example, one species of antelope out of the 12 that are there now, the water buck has come all the way back. So you can see it as they were, they see them as they were before the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Others, the mammal, including elephants, are coming back slowly but steadily. And we're most concerned about the lion population, which is coming along, I mean, but it's only up to a small fraction of what it was pre-war.
Mm-hmm. Talking with E.O. Wilson, author of the new book, A Window on Eternity. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, our number, 844-724-8255, 844-SCI-TALK, if you'd rather do it that way, or you can tweet us at SciFry, at SCIFRI. Now, we all know about your love for ants, Dr. Wilson. Did you run across any interesting ants while you were there?
Oh, yes. I was hoping you would give me an opening.
Here it is. Drive a truck through.
Oh, yeah. we've put my favorite group, which has something going for it as well by being so abundant, just ants are extremely abundant insects. We've put them center stage in making the biological surveys. And I can report to you and our listeners that as of this moment, we have found about 200 species of ants in the park, of which about one-fourth are new to science. So it's a great voyage of discovery, since insects have never been carefully studied in this park, insects of any kind. One of the insects, or the ants, I should put it, that's the most interesting and a real member of the wildlife in terms of its spectacular activities, is the Metaballe ant. The Metaballes raid termite nests, and they're big, heavily armored ants that, when alerted by scouts of the presence of a termite colony somewhere in their territory, organize a remarkable march. I've never seen anything like it in insects of any kind, including all the social insects, a march out of their nest to the termite nest in solid formation, all of the ants moving determinedly in the same direction. And if you've ever watched ants going from point A to point B, and I don't expect you have. I don't worry about whether you really have or not.
We all did as kids. Sure.
You'll remember how frustrating they are. There are a lot of the ants in the column that will go halfway, hesitate, turn around, and go back. So most ants get from point A to point B to do whatever they need to do, like get food, kind of just by statistical preponderance, but not the Metaballe. They march in one solid mass, maybe up to 10 ants across, and they keep in that formation. Nobody deviates, none wander off, until they arrive at a termite nest, whereupon the scout and a couple of the big worker ants, Metaballes, crash through the entrance, and the whole bunch pour in. They are met by an army of termite soldiers. The soldiers in some of those nests are part of a colony of as many as a million workers, and the soldier force is formidable. They throw themselves against the Metaballes, but that's what the Metaballes want. They kill the soldiers with one bite and a sting, pile them up between their jaws, dead soldiers. And then on signal, there has to be a signal, they all turn around, each bearing their load of dead soldiers, and march back to their nest. It turns out that that's what the Matabele specialize on, which is soldier termites. So it's like provoking a battle. Then, after winning the battle, you gather up all of the dead soldiers from the other side and take them home for dinner.
Wow. Did they plan this? Is this strategy involved here, right? I mean, coordination and strategy? Do they plan this? Is it just indigenous to their DNA? How did this work?
This is just one of the almost infinite number of interesting biological phenomena you see in this park, the Gorongosa Park. And I expect that as time goes on, we're going to be able to examine and find out the secrets of each one of these remarkable phenomena. I should mention at this point that I've just come back at the last visit several weeks ago. I participated in the opening of a state-of-the-art biodiversity laboratory there with all the necessary equipment to do the surveys and to do the kind of research that will lead to answers to the kind of questions you just asked. You know, what is going on? How do they do this?
So you're saying this is unique in the ants that you've studied over your lifetime, this kind of warfare they do?
Yeah, marching from one place to another to perform some function such as hunting and march back in a single solid formation.
Wow. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International, talking with E.O. Wilson about his new book, A Window on Eternity, and regaling us with stories of ants, as usual. Are you ever surprised at the diversity of the ants that you're finding and what there is left to be known about them?
Sure. Yeah. We're up to 14,000 species worldwide we know about. I just made a ballpark estimate, a guess really, that there are 2 to 3 times that many species out there. In other words, we're only about halfway through discovering all the different kinds of ants. But that's typical for biodiversity generally, unless you're speaking of the vertebrates, the freshwater fish particularly, the reptiles, amphibians, birds, and mammals. We still don't know more than a small fraction of the species in the world. So we are going to be finding at Gorongosa, for example, large numbers of previously unknown species. And of those that are known, we're going to be finding all kinds of new phenomena of general interest to ecology and the other biological sciences. That's what makes it exciting, and that's why the new biodiversity laboratory that's now open and running is going to be a particularly interesting place for young and all scientists to visit.
So it's not just new species of ants, but new species of plants and bigger animals.
A few of those. Those are usually hard to find, a really new species of plant, but they've been found as well. There's one particular place, or a couple of them actually, that remain unexplored by biologists. One is a rainforest atop the 6,000-foot-high Mount Gorongosa. And I was one of the first several biologists to actually enter that rainforest. Another one is a series of gorges along the escarpment that drops off into the African Rift Valley. And those gorges, are limestone rimmed, the biggest one is anyway, and have a rainforest at the bottom. So you can enter isolated oasis-like rainforest of the kind that might have been over the entire area millions of years ago and has retreated back to the Congo forest. These are islands of rainforest unexplored. I took the first team of entomologists, the people who are studying and looking at the insects into the gorges. And believe me, that was a wonderful experience. It was a 19th century experience, being the first in to see what might be there.
Well, how does Garangosa make you hopeful that we can recover from biodiversity problems and the destruction?
Yes, because the destruction, in my estimation, the destruction was almost entirely focused or involved the big animals, which we call the wildlife, that were targets of poachers and roaming troops that were killing them for meat.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish you luck, and we're talking with E.O. Wilson, Professor Emeritus of Biology at Harvard University in Cambridge, and he's author of the new book, A Window on Eternity, A Biologist's Walk Through Gorongosa National Park. You going back soon? You off to someplace next?
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly going back to Gorongosa within a year, about a year from now. It's a narcotic experience. The more you learn about a place like that, the more familiar it becomes.
Wow.
And after a while, it even begins to feel a little bit like home. The more you see that is remaining to be discovered, then the more attractive it becomes. Sure, I'll be going back if I'm able.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wilson, for taking time to talk with us. We'll have you back in a short while. And good luck and safe travels.
Thank you.
A reminder, it's not too late to join the Science Friday Science Club. We're making art machines. Yeah, you can go to sciencefriday.com/science club for more information, and you can join us next Friday. We're going to talk about everybody's project. You want to see your project? It's probably up there on our website. And next week, we're going to talk about everything that's up there.